From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Caudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Since 2006, Catch Idaho has been working to provide housing for families that are experiencing homelessness. However, when it comes to helping people get back on their feet, housing is just a part of the entire equation. Many people in these situations are also experiencing mental and physical challenges, which is why Catch is working to connect families with health care they need. Joining us today to talk more about this new service is the Executive Director of Catch, Stephanie Day. Stephanie, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks so much, Gemma.
So Stephanie, for folks who may not be familiar with Catch, can you tell us about it and how it works?
Yeah, so we're a local nonprofit that started here in Boise and serves the Treasure Valley, and our focus is ending homelessness in the Treasure Valley. So we have a program designed for families living in shelters or vehicles to help them get back into housing and stabilize. And then we also have programs that help people navigate all the resources in Ada County if they're experiencing a housing crisis.
And so since 2006, how many families do you think, I mean, guesstimate, that you think you've helped here in the Treasure Valley?
Well, we know that because we have to report it for grants. So
okay.
Since 2006, we've served over 500 families.
Wow. All right. So let's talk about this integrated care team idea. First off, when did your folks at Catch kind of start noticing, like, you know, homelessness, as I mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, is really just a part of that entire puzzle?
Yeah, so we've been housing people for a long time, and definitely people experienced some challenges before COVID, but we've noticed a sharp increase in folks' lack of ability to manage stress in their lives since COVID, and just lots of complications with folks needing more intensive healthcare supports, folks relapsing more frequently than they used to if they're in recovery. And I think all of us feel a little bit less healthy than we did before COVID. But for those who are living with their bandwidth stretched to its very max and they have lots of different stressors going on in life, it's just been really difficult for a lot of our families to reach a point where they're feeling like they're increasing their well-being and really stabilizing in housing.
So here you are, an organization who was founded on the concept of ending homelessness, right? Helping the unhoused, yes, families in particular, become housed. Were you surprised when your organization had to sit down and say, you know what, we have to start addressing other issues as well?
You know, yes. Every year we kind of do an assessment of how things have gone the previous year and if we need to make any pivots to change to be able to serve the folks that we're helping better. And yeah, we were very surprised at just the sharp difference in the acuity of people's mental health and physical health since COVID. And that was by far and away all the case managers' feedback for the folks that they weren't feeling super great that had graduated from our program. It was almost entirely related to mental health and physical health challenges that people hadn't been able to connect to resources for.
So tell us then about this idea for this new integrated care team and how it works.
Yeah. So our traditional model has been referring people to healthcare partners and behavioral health partners. And that just has not been very successful over the last several years. Whether it be people have long wait lists to be able to access services, or maybe somebody's stress level is so high that they're having a hard time getting that thing done on top of all the other things they need to do. So what we're trying to do with this integrated care team is kind of pilot what would it look like to really bring healthcare providers into the service provision realm for the folks that we're serving. So instead of it just being a case manager that folks in our program work with, they'd have a case manager, a physician, a counselor, and that whole team would wrap around them and support them to reach the stabilization that they need to get to in housing. So we're trying to kind of like bring the services to them.
Okay, so how would you do that then? So this, the like who makes up this integrated care team?
Well, that is a great question that we are working to answer right now. So we received back in November a $1.25 million award from the Day One Family Fund, which is a fund given by Jeff Bezos, to be able to pilot this project. So we're currently in the middle of working with a consultant to help us build out the program model of specifically which staff need to be involved in this, and then how do they all work together as a seamless team. Kind of thinking about like long-term success of the team as well. So right now, what we're talking about is bringing on several behavioral health providers that would not become Catch staff. We would contract them, and then they would kind of integrate into our care team and work alongside our case managers with the families, meeting with them during intake, and then as needed, based off of the needs of each family from there.
So how do you convince the folks who come to you who need help with housing to also maybe take advantage of these new services?
Yeah, so that's hopefully going to be the beauty of the model. So right now, part of the reason that some folks don't engage in supports is because there's a lot of stigma attached to behavioral health services or having any kind of a like depression, anxiety, any kind of a mental health need. And so sometimes people can be kind of like repulsed by the idea of going to see somebody if we suggest it. Whereas we're hoping if it's just a baked-in part of the program and everybody who enters the program kind of gets tailored services for their needs, that it won't even become a big stigmatized issue. It'll just be the natural progression for every family that we serve.
So then how do you convince the public that this service, this new service, is necessary, or does that even matter?
Yeah, it kind of does matter. Hopefully our outcomes will convince the public because we've always had a more than 80% success rate traditionally at having families graduate from the program. And during COVID and the following year, we had like 71, 73%. So we noticed that folks were not stabilizing in the ways that they had in the past. And we're hoping that by creating this integrated care team, we'll be able to increase the long-term success rates of the families in our program.
So let's go back to these integrated care teams. You talked about the fact that you're trying to still kind of figure out how they would how it would look. Are you looking for volunteers to be part of these teams? I would assume you need to find healthcare professionals who are willing to take the time, I would assume kind of pro bono, to help with this.
Well, the grant itself from the Day One Family Fund will cover the salaries of the behavioral health professionals for 3 years. So we're hoping to launch the program in September, and when we get to the point where we're ready to do that, we'll be putting out a request for proposals for folks that have that skill set that would be interested in partnering with us, and then hopefully have at least 3 years to kind of prove that the model works. To be able to figure out our long-term strategy for funding it.
Have you seen a model like this in other parts of the country? I mean, I know Catch is not a unique program in the sense of programs like this that are working with unhoused families to give them stable housing. Have you been able to look at other models to see if this has been successful?
You know, in the rapid rehousing world, which is the technical term for our program, this would be kind of pioneering into new territory. However, there are other fields. Actually, healthcare itself has become kind of been moving in this direction. And there are lots of very successful, there's internationally a really big street medicine movement where folks who have behavioral health and medical expertise go to folks who are experiencing homelessness on the streets and help meet their needs there. So there are models within the healthcare field that exist, but this would probably be a little bit of a pioneering it with a rapid rehousing model.
How confident are you that this new program can be successful and that you can see real change in the sense that there is more, stable housing for these folks, that they are able to graduate from this program?
Yeah, I feel very confident in the model itself and coming up with something that's going to at least be better than what we're currently doing. I can't necessarily predict the future, but what we have seen works is really trust is the most important factor in helping our clients reach different goals. And a lot of folks have had bad experiences with the mental health field or the behavioral health field. And if we can kind of create a relationship that's really trusting, and built to meet the needs of the specific families that we're serving, I think it's going to help folks feel more comfortable transitioning back into services. So I'm feeling very confident that it will move us in the right direction, and hopefully it'll be like the be all end all, and everybody will graduate successfully in the future. But it will definitely move us in a better direction from where we are currently.
I just have a couple of minutes left with you, and I kind of want to pivot right now to talk really more specifically about housing right now. So
Yes.
first question, how many families are you assisting currently to try to find stable housing?
So we have about 12 at the given moment that are still looking for housing that are not housed right now.
So how does this work in regards to you trying to make sure that they have this stable housing? I know you work with landlords as well, correct?
Yes, we do. And we actually, the housing market became much more difficult in 2020 as well. So we've actually hired a staff person whose sole job is helping us maintain really positive relationships with the landlords we're currently working with so that they want to continue to work with us. But then also help recruit new landlords. So they have a toolkit of several different incentives that we've tried to build over the last couple of years as the housing market has driven up, and our families can't afford necessarily to pay market rent right now. So if somebody's going to keep their rents a little bit lower than market rate, they'll take a financial hit. So we've tried to create some incentives like a damage fund in case there are damages. We can help reimburse some of the costs of potential damages. We can do vacancy payments. So if somebody leaves a unit before their lease is up and there's a space where it's empty, we can pay for the rent in that space of time. So we're trying to get creative and find ways to make sure that if you're a private landlord and you're really taking a little bit of a financial hit working with a program that the rents would have to be set a little bit lower than you could make in the market, that you're still feeling supported and it can financially pencil for you.
So how can folks help, Stephanie, whether it's with, maybe you're a landlord, maybe you know a landlord. I mean, maybe you're in the mental health field. How can folks get involved and make a difference?
Yeah, well, I would say definitely if you have a unit that you'd like to rent to one of our families, we would love to talk to you. So please give us a call at Catch. If folks have household items that they are like doing spring cleaning, wanting to, get new towels and get rid of old ones, silverware, things like that, we do collect household items for families that are moving into housing so they can help restart over. And then just in general, probably the biggest impact that feels like the least significant, but I think it's really significant, is we would love to just have a conversation with folks about housing insecurity and homelessness, because it's something that most of us will never experience. And when we don't experience something, we don't really understand it. And sometimes that can mean that it's scary. And so we love just sitting down with folks and talking, like any questions you've got, like let's just get it out there, talk through it, and help just educate everybody around what this experience is like for folks so that we can really kind of all come around the movement to make sure that we have housing for everybody.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day today to talk to us about this new program and what you're currently doing as well. So thank you for your time.
Of course, thanks so much, Gemma.
Oh, we've been talking with the executive director of Catch Idaho, Stephanie Day, about Catch Idaho's new integrated care team. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.